How's everybody today? Good? Okay.
5 o'clock.
I'd like to call the meeting to order. Approve the minutes of 4:15 and 4:21, 2015.
Make a motion to approve the minutes both.
Any second?
Second.
Rich, any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Resolutions of May 19th. Resolution 187, authorized the county executive to execute a contract with the city of New York to accept grant funding for and facilitate creation of public recreation trail along the Ashpen Reservoir. Move second.
Second.
Everybody has a ton of information regarding this whole thing. There's been a lot of discussion. I know there's a meeting tomorrow night with the Economic Development Committee and the Rail Committee. Yes. The attorneys met today at 3 o'clock, Dee and Erica
and Cappy.
Someone just wants to bring us up to date on that meeting so that everyone's well aware of. Erica, Cappy, Dee, one of you.
Erica?
What do you want to know?
Well, you went in there with a list of various concerns and issues.
Yes.
And did you address each of those issues to a satisfactory resolve to all of them?
Sort of.
Spoken just like a true attorney.
Thank you. Okay. That's why, you know, I went to Stanford to law school and such.
Okay.
Okay. There is some language that county attorney and I have to work on to address some of my concerns. We didn't have the opportunity to draft it. We will be working on that. But everything else, I think, has been addressed to our satisfaction. We know that there's legislators that have questions and that they'll be put forth tomorrow. We also have amendments that have to be made to the resolution itself, which are before the committee.
All right, well, let's deal with that at a little bit later tonight. But Cap, you want to add anything more to that?
I think there's still some outstanding issues, but I think we made some progress in having some things defined. But I certainly think there's still some questions that are outstanding.
Do you want to add anything?
Well, I think there's no legal impediment to adopting this resolution tonight. The resolution does say, or as modified by the county attorney, which is the normal language in the resolutions. We've discussed some changes, which I think that let me put it this way. Erica raised an issue when we met 2 weeks ago that we addressed, and I ran it by local DEP council. They were fine with it, and it's gone through the New York City Law Department, and they approved it. So the things that we've decided to add, I think everybody concurs that they're going to be added, and I don't see any problem with getting the city law department to approve them for us. This thing has to go. It has to move. And this is going to be an ongoing project besides the agreement that you have in front of you tonight. There will be subsequent agreements that this legislature will be presented with and will have to approve because they are intergovernmental agreements. You'll also see contracts that you'll have to approve. The next step is planning. There'll be a planning consultant contract that's going to come before you. It is clearly going to come in over $50,000. And that's the next step to moving forward to the other things that have to be addressed as we move along through this project. It's an opportunity to accept money from the City of New York. My office has worked with the City of New York for the last 3.5 years on various different projects. And while we have issues with them regarding the Lower East Southwest and others, I can say that we have a good working relationship with those attorneys. We've managed to do some really good things with the City of New York. We've managed to take people out of harm's way in the watershed and in other areas. And they're local attorneys who live here, local staff who live here. And this agreement was something that they brought to us, and we attempted to negotiate it. As you know, we sent it back in January to the New York City Law Department, and we didn't get it back from them until April. But as I said, they already agreed within a day to the one issue that we had previously addressed, and I think the other legal issues here that we have are not insurmountable. They're standard, and I think they'll be fine with it.
I can't disagree with what County Attorney Hrenek said. However, I see no reason why this cannot wait until next week. We have another Ways and Means Committee. There is tomorrow. There's an important meeting between Economic Development and the UND Corridor Railroad to give them an opportunity to vet this. And I still would like to make sure that Ms. Hrenek and I have had an opportunity to discuss some of the language that will address my concerns. We talked about them extensively. I don't believe that I wasn't told that I was mistaken in my viewpoint. I feel that I made raised reasonable issues, and I think 1 week should give us enough time to be able to hash it out, at least give also Mr. Hrenek an opportunity to pass it by council's office, at least at the lower level at DEP, the local office for demand, I'm going to say lower, but the local office, and see where they're at. And if they're not amenable to some of the changes that Attorney Weiner and I have asked for, then at least we can at least have an opportunity to talk amongst ourselves and at least give our final opinion as to whether we, as councils, can recommend that you put this agreement forward. Ultimately, it's a recommendation or not. You guys are the policyholders, policymakers, and it's up to you to make the decision. But it's my legal opinion that 1 week, giving us all the rest of the opportunity to do our due diligence, is not an unreasonable request at this juncture.
Happy.
I just wanted to just add to that. I haven't had a chance to speak to the chairman, my caucus. We had this meeting conclude about, let's say, within the past hour. I was up to coming to the meeting, so I completely agree with Erica that I would ask the courtesy of a little more time to be able to discuss this with my caucus, with the chairman, with my co-counsel, and digest at least some of what was said at the meeting.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I mean, I couldn't agree more with Erica. That meeting tomorrow night between the two committees, we're going to get some questions answered. And I know that the attorneys are all looking at this from the viewpoint of legalities and contracts. But I think some of the legislators have other concerns also. And I don't have a lot of the questions except for ones that Manna Joe sent today. And I think that I'd like to hear answers to her questions.
I think we can answer the main question.
Hold on. When did Manna Joe send?
She sent it in an email today to the legislator.
Sorry, are you not getting it at all?
Well, that's why I think it's important for us to kind of grasp what the questions are going to be, because I'm not a lawyer, and looking at, you know, looking
please,
at...
Please, one conversation at a time. Please, Tracy, please.
You know, just having the lawyers hash out the legality of the contract doesn't answer the questions for the legislators. So I agree, you know, if we could just wait until... next Ways and Means Committee, we'll have our questions answered, and I think we'll have more information on which to vote.
Rich?
Thanks, Chairman. I agree with Legislator Affilio. This whole contract raised a lot of red flags to me, and I know Legislator Briggs and myself and my father and a few of us know the history of New York City and the upstate communities, where a lot of other legislators haven't, you may not know the, you know, the history, but the Chokan Reservoir, that whole area is historically been off limits for public access. They've allowed fishing only because that was written in the early 1900s that the reservoir could never eliminate fishing. With that said, they're opening up, New York City's opening up many reservoirs further up in the Catskills to biking and hiking, but they're not doing it with the Ashokan. And this agreement allows the city to shut down the hiking in a case of an emergency, you know, or a 9/11 or some kind of an emergency, allows them to shut it down temporarily. What's temporarily? 60 days, 30 days, 5 years? It's not in there. And I think we have a good commissioner now of the DEP who I think genuinely believes this is a good agreement that's going to allow people to walk and hike the trails. But the next commissioner may not be like that. They may just say, boom, it's an emergency, we're closing it down, and then the residents of the county and all of us have absolutely no recourse to it almost goes back to the tobacco law. If everybody submits all the paperwork, everything's in place, the Commissioner of Health didn't have to issue a health permit until we rectified that in our local law. And I think that needs to be done. Some other concerns, a trail not being paved is not a world-class trail. Anybody I've spoken to who travels to places to ride bikes, do not go. I've had a couple phone calls, spoke to some people up in Delaware County. They will not travel far to ride on a bike trail that's gravel. It's not a good trail. It's good for certain things, but it's not a destination spot. So I think that should be addressed. Another thing in this agreement, it's saying the city shall continue to support the county in obtaining from the Catskill Watershed $1 million from the Catskill Fund for the Future. I'm a board member of the Catskill Watershed Corporation. The county's never discussed $1 million. It's never even been on the table. It's the Catskill Fund for the Future is a fund that we give out to businesses for low interest loans. If for some reason the city is only one vote out of 15 on that board, just so everybody knows, so it's a very small vote on that board. If they do get $1 million, it's going to hurt Ulster County businesses because that's less money that we now have to loan out to Ulster County watershed businesses to obtain loans. So it's really coming from the private sector if this money does come. I don't like the fact that it's even in this agreement because it's never been discussed. $5 or $1 million has ever been discussed from the Catskill Watershed Corporation, and it's in this agreement to make it look like there is funding coming from that organization. And as of today, there is none. And I certainly can't speak for the other 14 board members how anybody would ever vote if it came up. But that's private companies' money, private citizens starting businesses, expanding businesses in Ulster County, in the watershed. That's money that will come from them. Another concern is, actually, I'll let somebody else talk, but I do have another one, and I'll
bring it up.
Let somebody else. No,
isn't that the floor?
No, I want to find it in here. I want to get my wits about me. But right. So I think the rail trail is something we need, but I don't think we need it today to go ahead with an agreement that, you know, like the old saying goes, if you don't know who a sucker in a deal is, it's probably you. And I just think this does not protect the taxpayers. It doesn't protect the men and women that want to use the bike trail because the city can close it down at any time, and I just don't think that's fair. I think the residents of the county deserve better. And Chris, you've been on this a long time, and I, to be honest with you, I think it's a terrible agreement. I think it could have been done much better. I think the county could have put a lot more effort and demanded more things. All I hear from people is, well, they won't allow blacktops, so we're not going to go for it. You know what? Then maybe we need to work a little harder to get a better surface down. So it'll be a really good trail.
Chris, you want to say something?
The agreement doesn't preclude blacktop if it's perfect. So if you want to spend the additional money to make it paved, we have the ability to use any pervious permeable surface. So, again, if we use the new type of blacktop like we're using at Sophie Finn, that can accommodate.
Okay, what's the cost difference?
The cost difference between regular pavement and...
No, between what we're going to put down and the surface we're using at Sophie Finn.
It's probably a factor of two. You're probably going from 250 a mile to 500 a mile.
Well, can we put this in writing? I mean, shouldn't we be, the legislature be the decision makers as to what kind of surface we want?
Well, the thing is, hold on, before we get involved, this is not the actual construction. This is going out to a plan that's going to come back with whatever we're going to, if you're going to put this material, that material.
Why are we committing to a trail before we know what we're going to do? Let's wait till we know what we're going to do before we commit to a trail. Why? What's the hurry then? We can still plan a trail without this.
Well, there's no hurry. Well, I guess the caveat here is the fact that there might be monies available that we would not have to pay in order to construct what's there.
But we're not going to construct until this agreement's...
Well, construct, plan, whatever. First you need a plan, then you construct. So, I mean, if someone's paying to build for the planning, I mean, we're going to do it, so why wouldn't we... Take them up on.
I'd rather use our own money and then decide whether it's worthwhile moving forward then or not. Why take somebody else's money that obviously maybe has an agenda that can restrict use like that, and there's no timetable for them to give the use back to the county, why would anybody support an agreement like that, in my opinion? That they can keep county residents...
Do you want to answer that? I'm not an attorney. Why would...
Can
go
I?
On, yeah.
Well, the city of New York, in all of its agreements that have to do with their reservoirs...
Maybe before you go any further, do we need to get the city of New York's approval before we proceed?
To get the money, we do.
Not the money, the actual construction, planning, and everything else.
They're going to be involved in the construction and planning as well as the county.
But planning and construction are two different things.
Can I finish?
Well, first you need to plan.
That's what I'm saying.
So the purpose of this money is to start the planning process. The planning process will be developed with a consultant, and the contract will be subject to the legislature's approval. The actual specifications in it will be subject to the legislature's review and approval. But before, you know, you have to start planning before you can go forward and do the construction and address some of the things that are outlined in this agreement. This agreement is, let me just go back for a minute to the issue of the whether or not they can shut it down. It's their reservoir. When they allow access with other municipalities, they always reserve that right to preserve, the water supply must be protected. That's something they can't argue with. That water supply not only serves millions of people in New York City, but it also provides water to the village of New Paltz, the Rosendale and High Falls Water District. And for us to say that we don't agree that if there's an emergency, let's face it, no one ever thought 9/11 was going to happen. No one ever thought Irene was going to happen. But those things can happen. We know they can happen.
I understand it, but how long can they close it down for?
They can close it down for as long as they need to.
That's a problem. That's a problem when we're going to invest possibly millions of dollars of county taxpayer money.
But it's based on
public
safety.
And they can close
safety.
It down like that.
It's not based on some arbitrary reason just to close it down.
Is there a list of reasons why they can close it?
When we get into the planning process, we're going to have that in our plans, in our operation and maintenance agreement, in our security agreement. I mean, there are all kinds of agreements that are going to follow this as we go along that the legislature will be involved in. This is an opportunity to move forward and secure money, which may not be available. Who knows? I mean, they have a different system than us, a different budget year. This money is guaranteed now. Let's take it. Let's start moving. And you can do this with a lot of thought and a lot of, you know, a lot of input, because we aren't at a point where we have decided a lot of the things that need to be decided here.
Happy?
I don't think I have anything additional to add other than I think what people are asking for is what's an emergency to you might not be an emergency to me. And I think at this point, although I understand that later there'll be more documents going forward, I think we could define emergency. I think that's what we're looking for, are certain definitions that make legislators more comfortable with approving it. I don't think it's insurmountable like you said, but I think it's fair to expect that we could define an emergency.
If you believe that the city would not stop a train going over those tracks now in an emergency, they could do it now, okay? They could do it now. Let's face it. Their interest, the interest of that public water supply, will supersede anyone else's interest. And I can guarantee you that if I stepped into court tomorrow and that was the issue, the city of New York would come out the winner, because protecting that water supply is the most important thing that they have to preserve at this point. The fact that they're allowing us to construct a trail along it is a benefit, but you can't legally argue with the fact, nor can you morally argue with the fact that you should be allowed to shut it down in when there's an emergency.
What's an emergency?
Anything
that's going to affect the public safety and the water supply.
Okay. That could be a truck driving over the dam with an oil leak. I mean, it could be a lot. It could define it. I mean, what is it?
Chris,
anything's an emergency. Fisherman taking a pee in the water supply. Is that an emergency? I don't know.
Rich, you had asked me, you had said something about why do we need the agreement? Why don't we just start planning? Understand that the easement that we have is for railroad purposes only. What this agreement does is it sets up a framework for which we can modify that to allow for trail use. We're not allowed to do a trail right now. The second point is, in terms of closing the railroad, that railroad has no federal existing federal preemption or protection. Understand that neither CMRR nor the county has common carrier status, and that section of rail has not been used since 1976. So as the attorney said, you know, it would be quite easier for them to prevail in closing down that section now. The final point that I would make is that this agreement leads to a final easement. That easement will have, before we go to construction, we will have a modified easement that will have, firstly, you will see that will come to you for an approval because, it again, it's an intergovernmental agreement, and it will have protections in that. That's a permanent instrument.
But what
so
if we disagree with
construct
that?
Anything, before we pull up rail, we will have a permanent easement.
Of course, the question is, Chris, can we negotiate that?
We yes. must negotiate it.
We will negotiate yes. that at a, yes. a later date.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
This is just a framework for doing
so what happens if we do not agree with that later on?
Pardon?
What happens if we do not agree with that later on?
No trail.
Well, then the risk is that we've spent DEP's money.
We spent what?
We don't have to pay them back.
DEP's money.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have to pay them back?
No. Mm-hmm. We only have to pay back the unspent monies. We know that the planning is going to be somewhere in the $300,000 to $400,000 range at the highest. Their first payment to us is $1 million under this agreement. We would do the entirety of planning. If they don't agree to go forward, they've even admitted that risk is on them.
And that's stated?
Not our
is that stated anywhere?
No. Yes, it is.
What, it's in
the agreement.
Yeah, it's in the
it's agreement.
In the
okay.
agreement.
All right, Dave, and then Jeanette.
There's a, I sent in several questions. I didn't have them answered yet. So
who would you send them to?
I sent them to you. I sent them
I never
to
got
every
them.
Legislator. I sent them to the clerk of the legislature.
Yeah. I gave my copy were to be answered for tomorrow evening.
Tomorrow.
I gave a copy to Tracy. At least the framework copy to Chris White.
We'll be prepared to answer them tomorrow.
Because, I mean, there is not a risk in a delay here. Because in the end, you're going to have to do some type of rail banking. It would just be good and maybe quite drawn out. It's illegal to do it. It has to be done. And construction is not going to begin probably until 2017 or even later. Would that be drawn out like that? And the idea that the money is going to dry up is just not reality. And people know that. Because they want to get rid of that railroad very badly, the DEP, because it is a right-of-way that they cannot revoke. Now, they may try to lose legal maneuvers to revoke it, but it's not an easy thing to revoke. Whereas the trail will be easy for them to revoke. But that's not the point. There's other things that are in here. There's absolutely no idea. People keep saying, oh, well, you know, the cost will come later. But we have no idea, and they're not giving any hint. We could come up with some numbers. You can come up with some reasonable numbers on how much this is going to cost for the taxpayers. I mean, this to me has been very similar to the way when I sat there watching the jail fiasco unravel. It started with the idea that there was, oh, we don't know what it's going to cost. And then it ended up being a certain amount. It ended up being, and of course we all know it ended up being double what the original price was. Of that 120 days is a concern. You take a look, there's a road up there that's still closed off. They cut it off temporarily, it said, and they actually put roadblocks in front of it, so it's still closed off. There's also a situation with the environmental impact statement. It says it is a type 2, which has no impact. In reality, according to the law, anything over 10 acres, according to state law, is a type 1. And this is more than double 10 acres. It's about double if you refer to the 14-foot wide stretch, the 11.5 miles. That's if you just consider that. In reality, you're going to disturb much more than 14 feet wide. So, to me, that's a question that has not been answered either. Is this a legal resolution in this case? I mean, it's counter to state law.
We took care of that.
You didn't. I think that Dennis is also done a memo that I think will clarify very succinctly that issue. the county of Ulster, it did adopt its own seeker guidelines for type 2s, if you remember back in 2010, for the purpose of expanding and broadening what can you do under a type 2.
Well, the state law says different to that.
No, it doesn't. I beg to disagree with you. It doesn't.
You're going to get answers to your questions.
All right.
You're in writing and so forth.
And we have a memo.
Okay. So,
go ahead.
Mr. Legislator Donaldson did send in the issue about SEACER and how it's drafted in the resolution, Resolution 187. And I concur with County Attorney Havrenik that the approval of the agreement is not required by SEACER. However, the trail itself is subject to SEACER. And the way that provision, and you're right, the way it was drafted is convoluted, and it kind of alluded to that fact that it wasn't subject to. So I thought this was sent to you. But what we did was we amended that provision, separate it out, and make it very clear that the trail is subject to SEACER, and correct the language in here so that it says that just the approval of the agreement is not subject to SEACER. It was a good pickup. So we have to go through the whole SEACER process, which was one of the things we're just discussing.
The point is, again, I think it was brought up, you said a week. We really need more than a week to take a look at this. And that is not going to dry up. I mean, despite what anybody's, gloom and doom and the sky is falling, it's not going to fall off because they're going to affect the old out. They may double the money. They want to get rid of that railroad pretty damn bad. The other thing is that you're talking about volunteers that are going to do all the maintaining. You know very well that that's not going to end in the end. You take a look at the walkway over the Hudson, our side of the walkway over the Hudson. Ask the people on our side of the walkway over to us and ask the town there if the volunteers are doing all that, because they'll let you know that it's costing them significant money.
The walkway is managed by the New York State Parks and Recreation.
This side of where the town of Lloyd part is, talk to the supervisor, talk to Fitz.
City gets nothing out of it.
I'm the chairman of Bridge Authority. I know exactly what they get, so. I'm telling you, don't believe everything you hear, all right?
That's more fun.
Legislator Lynch, can I finish up? Legislator Lynch, they are spending money. You said so in your volunteers will dry up.
They are spending money because they improved the rail trail up to that point.
That's fine, but the point is, we don't have, the state's not going to give us money to maintain this on a constant basis, and that's it. So when you say that it's going to be maintained, it's 11.5 miles by volunteers, I mean, let's be realistic about it. We need to come up with some real cost on this. And in other words, the idea that not allowing, we established the committee to take a look at this corridor and hopefully send out requests for interest on certain pieces of this corridor, and let us do that. Let us find out if the interest is there. I mean, otherwise, what you're doing is circumventing that committee. Why even have the legislative body? I'm unsure why we're here anymore, the way we're working here. Because it seems like this thing is shoved into our faces with 2 weeks to decide. Meanwhile, it's been negotiating for the last few years. So, I mean, the money's not going to dry up. There's, again, of course, like I said, I had other questions. They talk about having a shared-use bike lane, and it said the city will consider. It doesn't say that they're committing, but they're going to consider it. So, I mean, that's an important question that has not been answered. The insurance and any part of the security, how much is all that going to be? Also, why is the county attempting to do a freight line or establish a freight line in there for the rail banking? Is that correct? You're going to try to establish
that's language that comes under the FTB, and we're going to explain that tomorrow with the questions, the frequently answered questions and responses. The county can abandon the property under the FTB or can modify the easement, both ways to preserve the right that we have over that portion of the rail line, the 11.5 miles. We have a perpetual easement now for rail purposes. this agreement clearly states that this agreement does not obviate that, does nothing to it. That perpetual easement will continue to exist. The only way it can be changed is unilaterally between the parties. And the plan is to change it unilaterally so that it can be modified to add trail to it. Whether or not we go and we decide to abandon it under the National Trails Act and the STV is something that we also have the right to do. And we also have the city's assurances in this agreement that they would not stop us from doing that, that they may even assist us in doing that. Those are all things that we thought out before.
One other question, and then I'll stop. Okay. All right.
But I think Chris can answer the question about the
trail. According to this agreement, the city is to fund, design, operate, and maintain public trailheads, right? So, but the county needs to have a say in that design so that the parking and other facilities are not limited or designed to discourage public access because, you know, let's face it, the record of the DEP is not one that says, oh, come on in. If you remember, it was only a couple years ago when the county executive equated them to a occupying nation, that they were occupying us. And as a result, you know, the point is if they turn around and design a parking lot for three cars, and that means you're limiting the access. So, I mean, this type of thing has to be part of, that's going to be sort of a little tighter in the way we put that. So if you're going to have a trail, let's make sure you're going to have parking that it can be actually used.
The city has committed itself to more than one trail in this agreement. The process...
Trailhead,
I'm sorry. Thank you. The process for determining where those trailheads will exist depend on a lot of factors, and it's part of the planning process, part of the next step that you will be taking with the city's money. And it's not only, you know, where do we want them, but it's also where does the community want them? Where do the towns want them? How does it interact with what they do with their businesses and their economic development? All of this is something that is yet to be determined. You can't determine that in this agreement for funds.
But it
will be something that you will be able to determine in the future. And it's got to be something that's done in a carefully planned manner. So then not only do you provide access, but you provide reasonable access. And some trailheads may be more elaborate than others. There may be simple accesses off of the highway or somewhere, but others may contain parking. They may contain public sanitary facilities. Even vendors may be available there. But as we said, this is all part of the process and the next step in when we enter into the next phase of SEACR, which will identify other issues as we go along. All of these issues that you have been familiar with in other projects that you have done before. This is not the end all. This is putting your step into the water, and it's beginning the planning process with money that's been dedicated to this county by the City of New York. Chris can talk to the trailhead issue much better than I. He's a planner. I'm an attorney. He'll be doing that tomorrow night, I'm sure. He'll go through it. If you want him to just talk about it a little bit more, he can.
In fairness, he did get hammered during the council's meeting about it, too. So just want to know.
It was nicely hammered.
The pain feels so good.
Well, good.
Jeanette, first thing you, John. Jeanette?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate being recognized. We passed Resolution 275, I think it was back in August of 2014, and I think that clearly stated that the county supports the trail. I don't understand why people are talking like this is such a big surprise. Oh, my God, a trail. I understand there's a lot of questions that are going to be answered hopefully tomorrow night, and I know with three or four attorneys, I think they could figure out words that'll make them all happy. You know, because one word to one attorney means something to another, and I understand that, so I don't even try to get involved with that. But for me, this is to accept the funding so you could get, we, as a county, could get to the point to plant something we already agreed on. And I believe, yes, this is going to be a long process. And you're going to have a lot of resolutions coming before you. And you want to vote no, you vote no on the information you have and you gather. But I'm completely baffled tonight that I'm hearing all these questions that have to do with plan. And I understand the planning process is public and the legislature is involved in it. Am I wrong with that?
No, you're absolutely right.
Am I wrong with that? And, you know, that's who will determine, the legislators. The rest of the direction, I only see this. I understand there are some problems with the agreement. I mean, there are questions that the attorneys have concerns about. And personally, I'm confident that they'll be able to, you know, get their concerns addressed. But beyond getting the questions addressed, to go ahead and agree on the agreement, because you can't do that until those questions are addressed. That's all this does, is accept the money to start the planning process of something we already agreed to do. And that was a year and a half ago. Now, if everybody is the legislature, I'll tell you something, we might have still been here talking about that. But we gave, we gave the direction to the executive to start the process and get the grant money that's available. In fact, by Resolution 275, Kingston was awarded grants based on that. So I just don't understand a lot of questions that are being asked. I think if you're talking about the agreement is one thing. You know, if there is things in there that are detrimental or need to definitely be addressed, that's fine. But when you start talking about planning, and I know some legislators are much more brighter than I am and can forecast the future. You know, that this isn't going to work and you're going to get more money and you're going to do this and this is going to happen. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Wrong then.
But I don't have that ability, you know, so I'll leave it up to the professionals.
Before we proceed, I mean, there's a few questions, John. The chairman will want to ask a couple questions. On Resolution 187, we probably should have done this first. We had in our packet. Let's just alter and substitute the one that's in our packet for the one that's in the handout. Mm-hmm. And it has, as Eric had said, regarding addresses and some other things. So let's just substitute the 187 that we have here instead of this one. So someone just put it, not to pass it, just to substitute this one. Amended one. The amended version. So someone make a motion to use Resolution 187 as amended.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All right, any discussion on that? So everybody's on the same page. On the amendment?
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, so this one we're using. John had four. John?
Okay, just
the other committee passed.
I just got this yesterday. This is the agreement from 1911. I just got it yesterday. I had to use a magnifying glass to read it. Now, there were several pages missing, but I did not read anywhere in here where the city could close the railroad down. I did not read anywhere in there where they could do that. Now, the problem I have when I read this and read the one that we're talking about here, I feel like we're ceding away our sovereignty. Never in there does it say the county, after consultation with the city, decides to close the trail for safety reasons, or which was not mentioned in the pages I got, or for water supply repairs or maintenance. So it seems like if we're going to buy the deal that the railroad got, you might think we ought to be buying the deal the railroad got and working with the city to make it right, not being dictated to. And I'm going to read this again tomorrow because there were a few other things that I found rather interesting in my reading. I understand that that the trail that we're talking about, and if anybody has to correct me, follows the right-of-way through the city property. That's what I understand. Now, I was told so many times
that the trestle across the street from where I work would just be impossible to repair for any reasonable amount of money. And if it was to be repaired for passenger, for pedestrian standards, aren't necessarily that much less than for cars, I don't know about trains. So we're going to get $3 million. Is that going to be used to repair the trestle? Because I have security concerns, but I hear they're going to be addressed later on. You know, women and children may be using that trail, and they're down by the reservoir, which is pretty isolated. So here's a trail that has to cross the creek where the trestle is in the water. It's gone, and it must be repaired. This is, I don't see what the rush is for everybody and for me to give to council the 1911 agreement, if they have or haven't seen it, and anybody else who wants to try to ask a few pertinent questions that aren't necessarily nitpicking questions. You know, I have to tell you, one of my greatest frustrations in this job is that when legislation is brought forward that has been drafted with errors and really pretty poorly designed, even though they're noble efforts. I mean, I understand that. I've been advised that there are several drafting errors in this that are determined to be substantive. And I don't see why we can't move forward till next week, which is still rushing something as important as this. For instance, is it important? I'm told we got to pass this because the construction guys are all ready to go and they don't want to lose the season. Now I'm hearing there's got to be CEQA reviewers. There's no plans to look at. So will this be ready for construction on July 1st, August 1st, September 1st? What's the big deal? I think there's a lot of errors in it because we're ceding our sovereignty for a couple of bucks. Thank you, sir.
Do you want to respond to anything, Chris?
Well, I would just clarify, John, it wouldn't be this construction season. We can't construct until the end of the lease. So what we're concerned about missing is the construction season next year.
And my good friend, nobody said when those news releases were gone. No, we're talking about 2017 or 2018 or whenever. It was like implied now.
Well, realistically, there's no way we're starting construction by the end of this year.
Correct.
I mean, it's impossible. Right. Time you plan, time you go out to bid, there's no possible way.
There's a lease.
If you have a lease,
yeah, but
we've been told they're going to be
there's no possible way.
Led to believe that.
So, I mean, let's be real about
it. We're never ceding the railroad easement, John. The railroad easement is protected in this. So let's say, worst case scenario, they shut down the trail at some point in the future. It's a future, you know, commissioner that we don't know, we can't predict. We will retain this rail easement in perpetuity. We're not changing that at all.
How do you do that without a rail there?
All right, Carl. We're going to move this along.
I'm not comfortable with the fact that the agreement isn't finalized for us to vote on. I want to make a motion to postpone this till May 19th.
Let's have a discussion first.
Well, I'm going to second it.
I want to just say a few things. Let's have an open discussion till the end.
But you do have a motion.
Can you just hold up on the motion?
Okay. All right. I'm going to offer it again, though.
Withdraw it for a minute. Okay. Thanks, Chairman. I just want to get back to something Jeanette said. When Jeanette said, we've already passed this, all we're doing is accepting money. This agreement is about this thick. If there was a resolution here accepting $400,000 from the DEP to plan a trail, it would probably be in a consent packet and we wouldn't even discuss it. How I interpreted it.
Okay.
Now, also, talking about impervious surfaces. Here in the agreement, impervious surface means an area which is either impervious to water, which substantially prevents water. It's not limited to paving, concrete, asphalt, rooftops, and other hard surfacing materials, but do include dirt, crushed stone or gravel surfaces. Can we get in the agreement that we can use this other surface that you said is illegal? Is legal?
It's pervious. The definition of a pervious pavement is that it allows the transfer of water.
So the city will be okay with that?
Yes.
So then can we put
it in
the agreement then?
It's in the agreement. I mean, it says a pervious surface.
But they're specifically saying things here that are legal and not legal.
That's the definition of what the impervious surface means in their watershed rules and regulations.
Okay, well, then can we put a piece of that in there then?
But it is.
Well, then can we put it in there?
It's in there.
It is in there.
It is.
Where? What page?
It doesn't claim that that's precluded anywhere, Rich. It says any surface including these things. And I would again warn you, like, there are very, very high-quality trails. Look, I understand that you and I both know the Cape Cod Trail, which is a premier trail, and it's paved. However, that's not along a public water system, and they have concerns about using an impenetrable asphalt. I have concerns about using permeable pavement because of the maintenance and because of the cost of putting it in. You can build a really high-quality trail with very compacted stone dust, like they've just done at Minnewaska, for a fraction of the price that you would put in an asphalt trail. So I wouldn't get too hung up on that. Look, you're going to have, if you don't like the design, this is coming back to you 5, 6, 7 times before there's any construction. You'll see the design. You'll see the security agreement. You'll see the operation and maintenance plan. All of those are IGAs. You'll approve our vendor. We've got to put out a public procurement process.
Okay. And my last question is talking about the rail. If the city closes it to the trail someday, why don't we get an agreement that they have to pay for the trail, the rail, to be put back down to their property? If we're going to tear it up and possibly spend all this money tearing it up, and then in 3 years or 10 years or 14 years or 2 weeks the city decides to close the rail down, the trail down, why shouldn't they pay to put the railroad back?
Well, let me answer that, okay? First, I don't think they'd ever would ever agree to it. You have to understand, when this agreement, this 1911 easement, was agreed upon, the city of New York was preparing to flood the towns, three of the towns that are involved in where this railroad goes. Okay. There was a railroad that went through these towns. In order for so they had to move it. Mm-hmm. They had to move it. So they entered into this agreement. The city paid over $1 million to the railroad to move it, okay? And as a result, the railroad was moved outside of the perimeters of the Ashokan Reservoir, where it exists now. That's a agreement that exists in perpetuity. The railroad can always exist there, but to go back, it's just not reasonable. The city is not going to put a railroad in there. And when I said that the city could stop it, the easement doesn't permit them to stop it. The way they would stop it is they would run into court and stop it. They would say this is a 100-year-old agreement. When it was put into place, we had different rules and regulations regarding the environment and how we treated the environment and the water supply, and now there's a threat to our water supply. This agreement is a good agreement, but the city will have any option that they have to stop a railroad. I'm sure that they would run into court tomorrow if they thought there was some way that something was going to do harm or damage to the water supply. And frankly, you can't fault them for that. This is an asset that they are protecting for not only the city of New York, but for all of us.
Well, if they built the filtration plant, it would be a moot point.
Well, that's
everybody can drive on and go on. So yeah. they're being cheapskates, too.
Well,
right, Chris?
We don't control that.
No.
So we've got to move this along, so let's move
quick. This MOA basically touches on the planning and just... The main focal point of it is planning, and it just touches on the implementation.
No.
But it doesn't go into the explicitness of the exact implementation to the end.
Mm-hmm. He's right there. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Right. So in regards to that, I have questions of Chris White. Like, in terms of the maintenance of the trail, so if the reliance on non-for-profits that's been discussed, like the Boy Scouts of America, different trail groups...
I have numbers for you, Chris. You had asked me the other night. I called the Rails to Trails Conservancy. They just did a survey of 200 trails in the northern United States, so four-season trails, and they basically came up with a cost per mile per year for asphalt trails and non-asphalt trails. You will have a copy of that. I thought all this was going to be discussed tomorrow night at the UND, so we have that memo for you for tomorrow. That number is $1,900 and change for an asphalt trail per mile per year. For non-asphalt, it's $1,006 per mile per year. What's that translate to here? It's about $11,500 a year to $23,000 per year for this 11.5-mile stretch. Now, that's without any volunteer labor. We also confirmed that the O&W Hurley Rail Trail, which is 7.8 miles, budgets $12,000 a year. That includes some minor capital items, but even, you know, obviating that, ignoring that, that comes to about $1,300 per mile per year. So you're looking at a range of about $12,000 to $24,000 a year in maintenance costs. And understand, once you build this and you design it well with good infrastructure, with good drainage, what you're basically doing is mowing, trimming, clearing trees, clearing debris and litter, taking leaves out of culverts, and doing some minor repairs to kiosks, signs, fencing, and other things. I mean, we also have letters of commitment from New York, New Jersey Trail Conference and Catskill Mountain Keeper saying that they would contribute volunteer forces through that. Now, people say, well, volunteers can't maintain that. Volunteers maintain the Appalachian Trail all the way from Maine to Georgia. They do major reconstruction of stairwells and other things. Look at the work that they did at Bear Mountain. So understand that, you know, we don't denigrate, you know, that volunteers do a lot of work on the railroad. Don't denigrate that, you know, trail volunteers aren't as dedicated, if not more, on some of these things. There are leagues of people that do this work, and scenery, and they are very skilled at what they do. So again, I think it's a minimal cost to maintain that. And I think that could be further diminished by the use of volunteers.
Right. So I had a question.
Joe?
And that will be documented to you tomorrow.
I just had a question of Bob Sudless, since he's here. So if the expectations and the actuality of what Chris just explained fell short from these non-for-profits, how taxing would that be on DPW, County DPW, to pick up the rest?
We haven't looked at it at this point, but there's also other options beyond the volunteers that Chris talked about. So. Right now, there's certainly many options, seasonal employees, part-time employees. Those are other issues, but I don't foresee it at all. I don't foresee the need.
Manager Joe.
Yeah, with all due respect to the attorneys that have weighed in on CEQA, I spoke to two land use attorneys, and they believe that the action of signing the proposed MOA is one that is subject to CEQA because it removes other options and it affects the future of this corridor. So you know, I think well-intended and knowledgeable people can disagree, but I think that's a very important first step. Is making sure that this action, which from my experience would qualify because it has such a profound effect, and it's a government action that is being taken. The other thing I want to say is that I feel that a lot of the discussion that's going on tonight is the work that the Ulster and Delaware Trail Advisory Committee was setting out to do. The construction, we got clarified, would not start till at least 2016 when the current lease expires. I think that the rush is an arbitrary rush. I understand the budget cycle for DEP, but if DEP wants to support this, they will want to support it in the next budget cycle, and I think that the rush is preempting the work of a committee that this legislature created to do this work.
Anybody else before I say anything? Kurt? No. Nobody else? I mean, I'm very proud of us legislators. It's the first time we probably got up and started thinking independently, get aroused a little bit, and I give everybody a round of applause, you know? It's great, you know? The point is that, you know, we have an issue before us. We have dealt with the issue before, as Jeanette has said. There's other issues involved here. There's I have asked, when it was suggested to me, I asked the county attorney to have a whole packet of information regarding everything that he has, his office has, whoever have dealt with this over the last 6 months, 8 months, year, whatever the case may be, provide it to every single legislator. All right? I do not see, did everyone get a copy of that? I didn't.
All the letters and everything?
All the letter in the packet. Okay, so everyone has a copy of that. On May 5th, I asked every legislator that there are many concerns, questions. Can we get together and propose questions so they can be addressed, answered, and that we can just have an open discussion? I know some people have sent emails that I did not receive any of those questions. I don't know if they're sent to who. I thought we were going to send everything to Don, and Don was going to bring them forth to get all the answers. This is a very important issue. You know, time could be of the essence, could not be of the essence. I don't know the answer to that. I have asked Erica, I talked to her, to talk to Kathy, to talk to Chris, to talk to B, to get all the legalities ironed out. They had a meeting today. They seem to go on the right path. There's still some unanswered questions or some language has to be addressed to finalize everything. What I'm hearing tonight, that people have some other concerns. But there again, I'm sitting here listening to everything, and my whole question is, why are we sitting and not doing anything? Why aren't we moving forth and continue to get answers, to continue to get the resolves of some of the issues that we have, and then move forward with it? If it's next week, if it's the following month, let's do it. I mean, people are just putting roadblocks. I mean, you're going to have many changes in construction. Every time you start the project, things doesn't always work out. So you're going to have changes along the line. You're going to have to deal with, you know, the DEP. You've got to deal with whatever else. It's not going to be an easy road. You make a decision today, it's probably going to change many more times during the whole course of the whole project. So, I mean, you're not going to have every single answer sitting here today. If you believe that, then I don't know what to tell you. It's not going to happen, because in construction, it does not happen that way. Carl has mentioned, I would like, along with Carl, to make a motion to hold this back for another week. We're going to have a meeting on Thursday to get all questions addressed, answered, hopefully. I mean, if you have questions, bring them forth prior so that they can do the research, so they come up with the answers. Well, we are here to try to help Ulster County residents. Well, it's not a battle between the county executive, the railroad, or... like I said, we're here to help the residents of Ulster County. If this is going to be a project that's going to help the residents of Ulster County, then we all should be saying, hey, let's do it. And how can we do it? And if there's monies available, I think we should go out and get it as quickly as possible. Because who knows, will it be available in the future? Could be. It might not be. Who knows? Someone can answer that question. So, Carl, if you'd like to make your motion now to move it till next week, hopefully, you know, we'll have more definite answers of what people have, concerns, and then we'll address it next week, and hopefully, you know, we can be a little more satisfied in our decisions.
So I'll make the motion to postpone this until the 19th of May.
I'll second it.
Any other discussion on that? No? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Any no's?
TJ. No. TJ, just so that you're aware, your committee passed the old resolution?
Yes.
You're going to have to, if your committee agrees, to amend it to the new resolution.
No, they don't.
They don't?
You amended it.
You amended it. It's good.
So next week we'll consider the amended version.
Yep.
Right. We're going to have a vote next week?
We're going to have a vote.
We're
going to have a vote.
So I don't want to shove it off. My problem is... Every 20 questions you get 20 answers. 20 more questions, that's 20 answers.
We got 23 questions now.
All right, hold on, everybody. Listen. Hold on, everybody. Listen.
people that want to
no
stop
disrespect
this,
for Manager
Joe. Argue about your answer.
Then no, hold on. No disrespect for Manager Joe or any other attorneys. But if you probably ask 10 attorneys, you're probably going to get 11 different answers. All right?
Not necessarily true. That's not fair.
But we have four attorneys that we hire. All right? And if we have confidence in our attorneys, we're going to have to take the opinions of what they say at whatever value it might be.
You have more. You have two others that sitting here that work.
Whatever. We have a battery of attorneys.
But there was actually a lot more of agreement.
So can we get going?
Yeah, let's get going.
All right. So, and also, you know, hopefully we can bring this to a vote next week. So just keep in mind that's what our plans are right now. All right. Resolution 188. Appropriating funds from the advertising on buses and then the Ulster County Budget Department of Public Works. Second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah.
What's the discussion?
No, no, he's talking. I second it.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
189, authorizing the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to enter the intermunicipal agreement with Computer Skills Education at Ulster Works One Shop Center.
I'll move it.
Please, guys, we're going to go through this quickly. Second by who?
I moved it.
Move it. Second?
My
TJ?
I'm sorry, yes, me.
All right, discussion?
Can I just say that at the Economic Development Committee meeting, Legislator Liz picked up on the fact that there was an error in the date, and it's already been corrected through the undertaker, also known as Jonathan Engel.
All in favor?
I'm abstaining from the vote.
Oh, yeah, okay.
This is me being paid to post these.
All right. Resolution 190, scheduling a public hearing on addition of lands to agricultural districts. Required. Second. All discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
202.
Sorry, who moved that in second?
I did.
DJ and who was the second?
Jim.
All for you. 202, authorizing the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Ulster Division of Criminal Justice, aid to prosecution district attorney. Move.
Move it.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
203, authorizing the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Ulster Division of Criminal Justice Services for the aid to defense program. Moved.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
204.
Move that one.
You're moving that one? Second it?
I'll second for him.
Thank you.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
205, amending Ulster County budget to continue the programming previous provided by Ulster County Community College, RSVP program, creating one full-time position, one part-time. Office of Aging.
I'll second.
Everybody very familiar with this is doing, correct?
Yep.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
207, authorize the chairman of Ulster County to execute a grant agreement with required insurance for Medicare improvements for patients and providers.
206.
We'll go back to 206. All right, 207. Moved by?
I'll move it.
Second? Is that the one, Bert?
No.
No, okay.
206 is me
alone.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
206, amending Ulster County budget to fund the senior Meals on Wheels.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
208, amending capital project 408, SUNY Ulster Renovations, Keller Center, Ulster Community College. Move.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
210, approving the execution of contract in excess of $50,000, Entebbe County, Gateway Communities, Office of Aging.
That's for the Meals on Wheels.
I'll move it.
Second.
Everybody familiar with this? Meals on Wheels?
Well, they took over for, what was the other company?
Prestige.
Prestige. This is the payment for what Prestige did.
All in favor say aye.
I just wanted to ask a question about the contract. I know a considerable amount of drivers that used to work for Prestige, and I called Gateway, and I asked them what they were going to do, how many jobs were going to be available. And they told me they were going to have two full-time jobs in the kitchen and that any driver can reapply. But they have to go to the website. I mean, can they just reach out to the people and ask them if they want to continue?
In fact, the Office for the Aging has been working closely with the former deliverers for the program, for the previous program, and it's my understanding that they've reached out. The information is about a week old, but they've reached out to talk to every one of them, and at this point, all but one had agreed to participate.
The drivers. Okay, because I have a friend that lives in this office, and I don't think he was called. Because I asked him if he wanted to continue, he said he'd love to.
My information is about a week old, Carl, but I was told that they reached everybody but one. Maybe it's the one.
Okay. All right, 212. Execution of contract in excess of $50,000, party count.
Did we do 11
yet? You didn't do 11.
Rosen Kiernan.
We're skipping every other one. CNS companies. Moved by 212.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
211. Approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000, third party county. Rosen Kiernan. This is going to be, hold on, 211.
So are you moving it?
Were you or not? Hold on, we're going to make an amendment here.
You don't need to. No, because this isn't increasing the budget. We're going to come back in the fall because I won't have enough money in the fourth quarter to pay the bill.
All right, so basically this resolution is not going to have any money value right now. It's not going to come out of contingency. It's just a contract to expand their services. All right?
Don't forget later when I do come back.
What'd you say?
Don't forget later.
He already just forgot.
There you go.
He's going to
right, move by.
Robert Perry. Richard Perry.
Second?
For discussion, right?
We have first second, yes.
Second, I'll second.
All right, discussion?
Yeah.
Yep.
I got some questions. So basically, you estimate what the cost of benefits and payouts are going to be for health care plan, self-insured health care plan. You do it on a quarterly basis, so that's every 3 months. Is that correct? So this is January through March?
No, this is quarterly. I mean, this increase is as a result of Medicare rates to our retirees.
Okay.
So that's throughout the year.
So this isn't for payouts of benefits?
No, this is throughout the year. This is, you know, the Medicare rates drove up the supplemental insurance.
Okay.
And that's what this increase is.
Okay.
So this is throughout the year, this increase.
And how much is it going to be?
$240,000 approximately.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
213, approving the execution of contract of $50,000 entered by Schultz Construction. Move, second.
I'll second.
Right, okay. We have information regarding this. Everybody has a contract or information regarding this. This has escalated from
$483,000.
Yeah.
So did it pass public
so
works?
So it went from 2.55 to 3.36.
Okay. All in favor?
Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
214, approving the execution of contract by J&J Tree.
Assume that it's
sorry,
in public works.
Can you just clarify what you just said? Was the difference $423,000 or that was
483?
483 to 3 million, slightly over.
Indiana 483, and
that it was 2.55 million, if I may, Mr. Chairman. Yes.
We have an explanation.
Yeah, there's. Is it attached to the resolution?
No.
Not attached. I just got it today.
It might still be here. It
was supposed to be amended. All in favor?
Wait, 214? Are you on 214?
We are still on 214, yes.
Okay. I just want to tell you I've been in contact with Mr. Engel about some language that was in the contract. I found that it was questionable. Is that fair, Mr. Engel? I didn't agree with it.
I don't believe this has been moved or seconded.
I thought it was.
Did we move 214?
Yeah.
PJ okay. And Don.
So, and Mr. Engel has agreed to take it out. Yes? It's being removed. Just want to let you know. Because it might be language that will be included in future contracts, but it has to be vetted yet.
All right. Yes. So you attorneys work well together.
We do.
I see that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
215, approve the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 by Geo Stabilization International, LLC. Moved by?
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion?
No.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
216, authorize the chairman of Wells becoming legislative transit instruments through agreement to construct a sidewalk installed along the Plank Road, Route 128, Napa, Knox, Cattle Works. And Walmart. Yeah. Moved by TJ, second by...
As long as we don't put him in front of Jane's general store, that's all. We just go around there.
I'll second it.
Second? Lenny said that.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
217, amending Ulster County 2015 budget to allocate additional funds for salt shed, for salt for 2015 Department of Public Works. Move for discussion, second by who?
Maybe.
When do we need salt for? It's warm outside.
After tonight, it's not going to be.
I will let the committee know the average use, because I think that question was asked in terms of tonnage, has been roughly the same, roughly 16,000 tons a year. I will say the cost is the issue. In 2012, it was $48 a ton. 2014, it was $68 a ton. And it's going to increase another 25%.
They know we use it.
And that's on state contract.
Correct.
Yes.
And the reason why we're trying to get this money now, potentially get it cheaper before they actually get even more.
Hudson River or something?
What's that? Yeah, there's some problems with getting salt. All right, move, second, discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Yeah, we had no other choice. Just remember, next year...
Y'all better know me increase.
You better increase it, because you're not getting out of contingency.
Okay.
Especially in May.
Yeah.
That's
my sister's car is always clean.
Actually, you're going to have a surplus next year. It's not going to snow.
All right.
You can take that to the bank.
Don't try to cash it, but you can take it to the bank.
Okay, there you go. I get in trouble if I do that.
218. Amending Capital Project 260, Bailey's Bridge. Next project.
One. Move it.
This was the one that, correct? This is the one that...
This is the one that was increased.
Yeah, this one, the one increased by 450, not the one that we just mentioned to Tracy.
Oh.
All right?
I'm going to straighten it out, because she'll remember that next week on the floor.
No. I'll tell her.
So Rich moved it, and I didn't
use
it.
I'll second.
Tom, yeah.
Give her a call, Rich. Tell her. No, call her on her cell phone. All right, any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
220, establishing capital project 455, security improvements, various buildings, amending 2015-20 capital program.
Move it. Second.
Discussion. No, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 222, authorizing the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to enter an agreement with Access Supports for Living for office space to provide mental health services to community, Department of Public Works. Moved by.
I'll move it. Second.
Any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
223, authorize the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to enter into lease with Family Services for office space of Ulster Preservation Council of Trudy Resnick Fiber Center, Ellenville, Department of Public Works. Moved by TJ.
Move it. Yep.
Second. Discussion. Aye. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
215.
224.
224.
Wow.
Amending the Ulster County budget to accept an additional allocation of funds from the New York State Office of Children and Family Services to implement Safe Harbor Program, Department of Social Services.
Move it.
Second. Discussion. Roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
225, authorize conveyance of county-owned property to the original owner, Department of Finance.
Move it.
I'll second.
Second.
I'll second.
Any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Approving 226, approving the home rule request for Senate Bill number, S-4695, and Assembly
it.
Bill.
I'll move it.
For additional 1%. Moved by Don, second by.
I'll second. Report.
Thanks.
Any discussion? See that? When we're nice to everybody, everything runs smoothly. We get
they all leave.
We get every 1%.
May 20. Did we do number 27? 227?
Not yet.
Not yet. Go on, favor side.
Go on, Ivy.
Go on. All right, 227, authorizes the reconstruction of the Pernies Bridge and for the County of Ulster at the maximum estimated cost of $350,000, and authorizing issues of $350,000 bonds.
I'm with it.
Second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? No discussion?
This is Ross area.
No.
It's Wishnick's district.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, Kenny's having a tough way.
Kind of good.
Yeah, but we have work
to get back together.
Any other new business?
Call the vote. Call the vote.
All right, yeah, we got a couple things.
Call the vote at 227.
Oh, we didn't do it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
All right. Everybody has reports regarding the new hirees. We have a report on public auction summary. We have revenue budget. We have expense budget. All right. Mr. Sudlow, but first let's go through the correspondence on the 215 property tax auction. Bert, everyone, you gave a hard copy of this.
Yep.
Any questions regarding this? Bert, you just want to explain it?
Well, yeah, we went to auction with 188 parcels, roughly $2.5 million in back taxes. At the auction, we had 101 parcels that were sold at $1.7 million in bids. That was on about $1.6 million in back taxes. Yes, we made about $100,000 on those parcels, but if you look at the total, we lost money. We don't make money on these auctions. I will also point out, yesterday was the last day for bidders to pay their full amount on the bids. Seven parcels, they did not pay in full. So I'll try to resell them at another time. They forfeited their deposit.
Okay.
Yes.
Go on.
Bert, why doesn't the county consider, if you're not making money on them, going to one of those companies that does Green County and you see them up in Schenectady?
They do the same process we do. I will say one of the issues in terms of me personally, once the county takes title, they want 10% of the assessed value for people to buy back their properties. I would think us as a legislature, legislature and me personally, they have a hard time paying their taxes now to buy them back. I don't want to charge them additional 10% just to pay them back.
Okay.
I mean, that's me personally. So.
Okay. Well, there again, I mean, there's a cost involved in all
yes.
that.
Yes.
You know, even if they
it doesn't, the cost isn't on
paper.
The county. It's to
well,
those who are making.
Well, the cost to the county is less labor costs. You don't need people doing as much work.
Well, we'd still have to do the work we're doing because by property tax law, I have to make sure certified mailings go out and make sure posting.
All right,
the only,
but it's got to be a benefit for some counties.
Well,
that's
no, I will
they
say the one thing that we would save is the day of the auction, but it's, you know, my people are still going to work that day regardless. I understand, Rich. I've looked into it a couple of times.
We actually talked to a couple groups one time.
I talked to them.
I remember that.
Okay. I get them in the mail from those.
But I think that's my biggest detraction from that is that we allowed 39 people to buy back their property before auction.
Yes, and that's what we want.
That's what we want.
Yeah. We want to be in the real estate business.
Yes.
All right. Any other questions regarding that?
No.
No.
Thank you.
No. All right, Bob. Courthouse review. They formed a committee with Mary Beth was chairperson of that committee. I know they had a couple meetings with you.
We had one meeting.
One meeting. Okay. There again, the Ways and Means has changed. So I don't think that committee is going to be available anymore. But can you give us an update where we are regarding the courthouse?
I don't know if the committee, this would take probably a fair amount of time that I don't know if you want to entertain tonight. We're in the middle still of a lot of scenarios. There's still a lot of moving parts. Everything from the raise the age to they just sent a second request for additional renovations and requirements that they want at the site to they still want a long-term solution, which is not the site they're in. So, I mean, there's a lot of discussion to be had, and it may be a little premature as we get closer to trying to determine what is the possibility for a site that is acceptable to the State of New York Office of Court Administration.
So where are we regarding the lease of the building itself?
The lease is coming up. We will be extending the lease again for another year, which will come before this committee in the next month or so, probably in June or July. It comes out in August. We have not had, since I received in the middle of April, a request for the additional work. We have not met on that at all with the state, which I think will probably play in any future discussion.
Were they going to allow us to stay there for another year?
The landlord is consistent with that. There, the Office of Court Administration would prefer additional space.
You got the greatest gig going, that landlord. Crazy. But for everything and everything. And
well, I mean, what's our options, though? I mean, if we don't have any other options.
Landlord, he's got an AE.
Well, is he going to increase the rent?
No. And we're increasing our revenue because of a former public defender space is now being occupied by the state, so we've increased our reimbursement.
By how much?
Not significantly, you know, $30,000 a year.
So what, you think the state's going to be agreeable to stay in that building for another year?
Yeah, they're but they want a long-term solution. They don't, you know, they called their request for additional thing day two work. So, you know, that's what they look at, that the first part was day one and the second part was day two. You know, the first renovation the county completed and had them ready to go on January 1st, which, you know, our assemblyman said wasn't going to cost anything, cost the county $350,000 with labor and material. Any additional work will also require additional expenditures. And I, you know, right now as I sit here today, I can't recommend that we go forward with anything additional property that we have no intent to stay in long term.
So are we going to be mandated to do this additional work here to continue
another year? I'm sure we will hear some mandate, but I think what they're trying to do is move us to come up with an additional location. We did meet with Legislator Gregorius, Ronk, Chairman Parity, and Legislator Lauren in the middle of April to discuss this issue relative to surplus property that will be coming up. And options that we have, you know, again, we've discussed under state law, they have to be located within the county seat, City of Kingston. However, through referendum, that can be modified and maybe a possibility to expand where we can look to meet the necessary space requirements that they want. They've made, you know, pretty candid, they would certainly prefer a $40 million, you know, new facility and... you know, they have three courtrooms now and a hearing space. They probably would like to double that. So that's what's on the table right now. I haven't met with them. I've spoken to their capital improvement attorney in Brooklyn and Judge Breslin's staff in Albany, as well as local staff. And, you know, basically, and the last big wrinkle, for anybody that's familiar, we've had this as the raise the age discussion, which is still in the governor's budget to decriminalize those acts of 16 and 17 years old and make them eligible for family court intervention, which would have a huge fiscal impact to county departments that are involved in the family court. And we are tracking those expenses. But I think it's critical that if we're going to have an additional potential volume in that courtroom, and even though, again, I hear there will be no impact, if you add a couple of hundred 16 and 17-year-olds that are in the system right now into family court, there is going to be an impact.
Absolutely.
And what is that space going to require? They can't tell me from the state other than we need more. And from where we sit in our meetings that we've had since last June when they dumped this on us, We have said we will continue to search for options, but, you know, there is a fiscal reality of what they're asking. Because, again, any of these expenses that we incurred, that's not something they reimburse. They will reimburse 50% of new construction.
Just new?
Yeah. New.
Well, new.
And they will then dictate exactly what is part and parcel of that plan so that our 50% will get to agree with them.
What happens if we have a pre-existing building that we don't utilize now, we utilize it for the new courthouse, would that be considered 50% reimbursable?
That's to be determined under, you know, my impression is if they will dictate what that interior is going to be, they will provide the 50%. However, as we've discussed, it may be cheaper not to go that route and do it in-house.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is potential, for example, BRC, Town of Ulster, you know, there's 38,000 square feet they're going to be vacated. I see, you know, despite the fact that it's not in the City of Kingston, that a referendum wouldn't be viewed favorably to utilize that space. And I think 38,000 square feet would certainly be sufficient to meet their needs.
But would they be willing to give us any monies towards our existing building?
We haven't got that far yet. it's a, so far it's been a fairly one-way street.
Because it's lawyers, right?
No, well, not all of them.
You know what you're talking about.
Sorry. Well, it was the unspoken.
James.
Question to Bob. What is your timeline if we're going to go to a referendum? This year?
No
this
way.
November?
I can't say because once we go to that referendum, we're going to start clicking. And I want to see what their proposals are going to be and what the needs. If this the governor left money in the budget for implementation of the 16 and 17-year-old legislation. If that lands, we don't know what we're going to get. We know we're going to get more work and more expense, but I don't know if that money's going to be used to offset any of these increases. So I'd like to see the details of what the proposals are before we make any kind of a commitment, and I think an option that we should hold in the background until we move forward.
Mm-hmm. Carl?
I just trying to separate the two, you know, the 16 and 17-year-olds right now go to town courts and to the county court,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're still going to be the same population. They're just going to be shifted into a different court jurisdiction.
But they're dealt with completely differently than that system.
Yeah.
Right.
They have.
And you'll a lot
take,
more
you'll
time
take the Mulsa courts. County court to
yeah,
the county court,
have,
but the town courts will have an influx of 16 and 17-year-olds.
No, the town courts will lose them.
Yeah.
They have them now.
And we'll gain them. That's what I'm saying.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Which is a nightmare. It's a nightmare, Carl.
And they still haven't defined the levels in the 16 and 17-year-olds of where the ceilings, where are the floors of behaviors that are going to access certain places. Because I can't imagine a 16-year-old commits a homicide is going to be in family court, nor do I envision a kid who commits shoplifting is going to go through the entire family court process, but nobody's defined that yet for any of us. But we do know there's a mental health impact. There's a probation, huge probation, DSS impact, mental health impact, court impact, and what that's going to entail.
Mm-hmm. County attorney.
Mm-hmm.
County attorney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 18B, you know, just exponential. And then you're certainly going to move into areas that since they no longer would be able to be in jail, those that commit more violent acts, we would have to find a place for them, which usually ranges, you know, anywhere up to $1,000 a day to hold a child in secure detention.
You have some of those contracts, don't we, Mr. Ken?
Yes, we do.
Any other questions? Bob, thank you very much. Just keep us posted.
We'll do.
We'll come back in 3 months, 4 months. You think,
I think
maybe
another couple months we'll get closer. Mm-hmm. I want to see if we can get these folks up here and have a more realistic discussion than, you know, we want a $40 million building.
Mm-hmm. All right, anything else? If not, a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second. All in favor? Thank you for coming.
What do they care for?